This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. This week, Paris hosted the 9th annual International AIDS Society Conference. There were a number of presentations and case studies there, but one in particular is getting a lot of attention. A child in South Africa who contracted HIV at birth has been free of the virus, or at least undetectable, for nearly 9 years. Joining us from Paris to discuss this and what it might mean for the future of the fight against HIV is Dr. Carl Diefenbach, the director for the Division of AIDS at the National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Diseases. Dr. Diefenbach, welcome to 1A.
It's a pleasure to join you.
Glad to have you with us. Talk about this child from South Africa. What's their story? Born HIV positive, is that right?
They're born HIV positive and then started therapy not immediately at age 61 days with a fairly significant viral load at birth at day 39 and then measured again at day 60. By the time they were 24 weeks on antiretroviral therapy, they were undetectable and seems to have remained undetectable for now 8.5 to 9 years.
And we should
note, interesting story.
And we should note viral load. Define that term for us.
Viral load is the ability to detect the HIV virus in the blood of an individual, and that's an active measure of the degree of virus present. And so, if it's undetectable, meaning you just can't find it, you're pretty much clear or free of ongoing growth of the virus in the body.
I should note, we'll be speaking with Dr. Diefenbach for just the first segment of this program. There's obviously a lot more to discuss with HIV research, and we will discuss it more in the weeks and months to come. But for this conversation, if you'd like to get involved, please do email us your questions and thoughts right away. 1A@WAMU.org, comment on our Facebook page, or tweet us at 1A. Now, Dr. Diefenbach, we know that the immune systems of newborns, of babies, are very, very strong. They're very different from an adult's immune system. Is there something about the fact that she's still in remission other than that that's kind of surprising? Is it unusual for a baby to be able to be HIV free for this long into childhood?
It's very unusual. So keep in mind that because this baby was started on therapy as part of an ongoing study, there were significant other children in the same cohort, the same group with her, with him, with the baby as this child started therapy, and so only this child has had this outcome. Additionally, there are two other children. To give you an idea of how frequent this is, there have been two other children identified around the world since we've been doing these kinds of studies. The Mississippi child that was reported on, that was born in 2010, and then was virus-free for 27 months. And then a child in France that was born in 1996. So that's three children total of all the children in the world that have started therapy who this has happened to. So it is a very rare event.
And when we say therapy, you're talking about HIV medication.
I'm talking about HIV medications, not cognitive therapy.
Right.
Correct.
Gotcha. So how it almost seems like we have to put this in a careful context, because the goal, of course, is to make HIV and AIDS history, to find some way to vaccinate against it, maybe even find a cure for people who are positive. What role does this case, this child in South Africa, play in terms of the larger push for a final AIDS or HIV regimen?
So I think that let's separate this into two components. The drugs that we have today for treating HIV are safer and better than they've ever been. And it allows us to use these kinds of tools, these very powerful, very safe drugs to treat children, to treat anybody with HIV infection, to a point where they have no virus in their body and they have a relatively close to a normal lifespan. So that's the best news we have for people living with HIV. In these kinds of cases, because they're individual and they're few and far between, it gives us the chance to then really delve into what exactly it is about this infant, this child, or the Mississippi child, or the French child, that was in addition to the therapy that gave them this edge on the virus. And I think the more of these patients, the more of these participants we have can get these clues from, the closer we will get toward being able to generalize this and utilize it in treating others to a point where it becomes more of a standard where we get this kind of a response. But the first you have to find the cases, then analyze them to get the results.
So it sounds like we're a little too early in this process to be able to draw common bonds?
The exact studies haven't been done yet, but the fact that we've identified another child in this case, in this series, is important as a step forward. It is part of the research we are actively pursuing at the National Institutes of Health to find a durable remission, meaning that you can stop therapy and stay virus-free. It's part of the research that we and others around the world are seeking to achieve.
And overall, as I understand it, the remission, being undetectable, being treated with HIV medications and having an undetectable viral load, that's very common. But just being in remission seems like it is...
Remission while staying on therapy is very common. And that is the goal that we are seeking for everybody who is HIV infected globally.
But that still seems like it is vanishingly rare.
Remission with therapy is quite common. Once you stop therapy and staying in remission is quite rare. There's been these three cases, correct?
Do we think it's something about the fact that these are cases in children? I've heard about a few cases of adults who have said that they are in remission from HIV after having stopped therapies. Is this maybe...
Right.
Is that maybe part of the difference?
No. So in adults, we have a different cohort of people. We call them elite controllers, that they will get infected and then either through therapy or by natural means not have detectable virus in their blood, not still be infected, but not have detectable virus in their bloodstream. These elite controllers constitute about 1-2% of the HIV infected population around the globe. So in that sense, that is also a phenomenon that we're actively studying as well. So there is an adult form, and then there is this pediatric form that we are seeing. But both sets of people are very interesting to scientists.
We're speaking to Dr. Carl Dieffenbach, Director of the Division of AIDS at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. Dr. Dieffenbach, give us a sense of what else has been going on at the conference. Do you get the impression from the folks that are there right now that we are getting closer to eradicating HIV? Are we getting farther away? Are we kind of running in place? I mean, how are we doing globally in this fight?
Well, we continue to make strides in the global fight against HIV. And part of the global fight is getting improved tools and technologies to fight the disease. And a lot of work focusing coming out of this meeting is long-acting technology, so that rather than taking a pill a day for the rest of your life, can you get injections of these powerful drugs to a point where you don't have to come back to your physician for a month or two at a time? And for prevention purposes, you may not have to come back for 2 months. So instead of a pill a day, it would be a set of injections once a month or once every 2 months. Our long-range goal in this is to get us to a point where we have injectables or even an implant that would last 6 months to a year. So in that sense, then, we would really fundamentally change the face of HIV treatment and HIV prevention, making it more accessible to people around the world.
Are the injectables and other such options for treatment more for people maybe in the developing world or in poorer countries where access to regular medical care is more difficult to come by?
No, that's an important question. Is ultimately, this is a global HIV pandemic, and we in the United States are engaged in this struggle against HIV with our partners around the globe. And a medication such as an injectable or implantable would, if it were to get licensed, would be used by the State Department, the PEPFAR and USAID, as a form of treatment when it became available. I think this is one of the strengths of the HIV research community is getting medications and these types of products to the people who need it the most very quickly.
One more thing I do want to ask you about before we run out of time. We did a program a few months ago about PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis, this regimen of using the HIV medication Truvada in non-infected people to protect them from becoming infected with a very common strain of HIV. What sense do you get of PrEP's adoption around the world these days? Briefly.
So PrEP is pre-exposure prophylaxis, or PrEP is being rolled out in some parts of the world. South Africa is moving to adopt it in some very unique target populations. Other countries are as well. France, for one, is moving in that direction, and the United States as well. But this is a strategy for preventing infection that does require adherence of one pill once a day. That's why what we're working on right now is replacing or giving people an option to go with an injectable that would go once every 2 months. Because we think, you know, like everything else in life, people like options that fit better into their lives. So we have something that works. Let's get something additional that works so people have choice.
Dr. Carl Diefenbach is the director for the Division of AIDS at the National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Diseases. Dr. Diefenbach, safe travels home from Paris, and thanks for talking to us.
My pleasure.
Time for a break. In a moment, we will shift gears and speak to actor and now author Wesley Snipes about his new novel, his first novel, the supernatural thriller Talon of God. I'm Joshua Johnson. Glad to be with you. You're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR.